This is Leafs Nation postgame.
Let's go!
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Here we go.
And it's going to be Nyquist. Gustav Nyquist works in off the left wing side, shoots, scores! Nyquist wins the game on a controversial play, a penalty shot.
Well, you don't see that every day. How about that? Gustav Nyquist, the penalty shot OT winner, a 4-3 win here for the visitors, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Welcome inside Scotiabank Arena, Leafs Nation pregame. Postgame, I should say, underway right here. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers, just Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. And a lot to dissect, I would say, in the last 20 minutes or so from here.
Well, there really were. It's like three different games, three different periods, Nick. And first of all, first period, that, I'll take that 20 minutes every time. That was a Leaf team on all cylinders. Little misfortune that first two shots against them gave Columbus a 2-0 lead, but give the Leafs full marks. They just dominated that period. The second will morph into a bit because it was a penalty late in the first period that kind of switched the momentum the other way. The other part is, man, dumb plays, guys. Like, talking to Jim Ralph and Joe Bowen about it, like, very uncharacteristic that just not getting the puck out, bad passes, ill-advised passes, sloppy. So, you know, give the Columbus Blue Jackets full marks for capitalizing on that, what the Toronto Maple Leafs gave them. And number three, don't do it often, but, man, you guys stunk, the referees. Johnny Bear and Tom Chmielewski, if that's your name, you ain't going to be in the playoffs.
You can
pack
right.
April 15th or whatever, and you got full summer ahead unless you do better than that. Holy mackerel. Were these guys brutal? So, again, that's factored in as far as you could. I know Mike Babcock will talk about it. Leafs had five minor penalties against and just two for Columbus, even though the Leafs outplayed them by a wide margin. So it just bogged the game down from being a, you know, wide-open, fast-paced game that was going the Leafs' way. So at the end of the day, the Leafs have to be accountable for all that happened because some of these penalties, too, it was some of that sloppiness that led to them. But these two guys were brutal.
Yeah, you're right. I think accountability is a big-time word to use on this night. Again, Columbus coming into Scotiabank Arena. The Maple Leafs grabbed the lead 3-2, and then Columbus had a strong third period, wins it in OT and a goal from Gustav Nyquist via a penalty shot. I think you're right. Like, you look at the majority of the penalties that the Leafs took, and they took five in this game. I guess six with the penalty shot there. Most of them, I think we can both agree, were warranted. You know, my issue is more so it's really dried up in terms of Toronto getting power plays. 13-3 in the last couple of games, power plays for and against. And it's very uncharacteristic, as we saw earlier in this year, where Toronto was drawing penalties left and right. And with the amount of skill level this team has, something's not checking out for me.
Yeah, and last year they were dead last in drawing penalties, which was kind of a strange stat given their team. But anyway, that's what it was. And you know, Nick, the other games, I'll just leave them alone in that way.
Yeah.
It is an interesting stat. And
it is.
And it is a relevant stat, but just this is a game where, like, I take issue just the way it was officiated. I take issue with the sloppiness that ultimately cost the Leafs a point when it looked like they had it. But I just, man, I don't like the chintzy. I don't like them either way. I don't like the chintzy
you ruin the
penalties
flow of the game
either
way.
Yeah. And that, and then, you know, then in the third period when it looked like an obvious penalty could have been called against Columbus, they chose not to. But anyway,
put the whistles away. Yeah. You're
yeah.
Right.
So anyway, I sound like an irate parent. I want to leave it alone.
No, but
those
it's
are
fair.
The parents you don't want. But this, I mean, this crowd was booing them off and chanting at them leaving the ice. That's very unusual for a Scotiabank Arena crowd. Okay.
Yeah.
These people there aren't dumb. Okay. They're biased. They're partisan. They may see things with blue-colored glasses, but they're not dumb. And that's about the loudest serenade I've seen a couple of officials leave here since we've been doing the games.
Yeah, and trust me, you know, as most of you walk to the subway right now, you're thinking the exact same thing. You're irate about the officiating. We'll get to that. I'm again Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada is coming up. We'll hear from Mike Babcock and some of the players after this 4-3 OT loss. On an OT penalty shot winner from Gustav Nyquist. I even forgot this guy was on Columbus. You don't even notice the player anymore. But to get to the actual penalty call. So you and I were watching, and I thought it was because they thought Mitch Marner had put his hand on the puck. And then upon further review, it was actually on the hook. But the player still got the shot off. So.
Exactly. And a similar play happened
before
for Trump. Yeah, the player. So that's why it was more confusion.
Shouldn't have been a penalty shot. Maybe more so a penalty, right?
Yeah, so Well, that's why nobody here can believe it was a penalty shot, because they're arguing that Mitch Marner, because Marner argued he didn't put his glove over the puck in the crease, and very quickly he found out that wasn't the penalty shot call.
Yeah.
So nobody else saw the other phantom penalty shot that they chose
to call.
Yeah. Brutal call. And, you know, whatever. Good on Gustav Nyquist. The Columbus Blue Jackets, they lost a lot of guys in free agency. He's the one guy they added after losing Panarin and Duchesne and Sergei Bobrovsky. They were the better team latter part of the game. There's no question about it. And, boy, the three-on-three was – and there was the Marner, Riley, and Matthews show, which was great. But initially, I don't think Mikhaev's practiced the three-on-three.
No.
They had a weird start.
He bumped into Barry and
I know. They had a weird start. They were fortunate to get out. Hey, and Freddie – anyway, got so much to talk about that way. And good on Freddie Anderson again. And, again, we'll go back to it tomorrow talking Leafs Nation postgame. Hopefully a positive thing about Michael Hutchinson being in the Toronto Maple Leaf goal against Boston.
You talk about goaltending. I'm perplexed. Frederick Anderson's not a star in this game. He's the only reason why this game got to OT, in my opinion. But a 4-3 OT win for the Columbus Blue Jackets after Toronto blew a 3-2 lead in the third period. More to come here on Leafs Nation postgame. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Time for a little hockey talky. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. Leafs Nation postgame underway right here, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. Just a variety of emotions here at Scotiabank Arena. The Maple Leafs coming back after being down 2-0, 6 minutes into this one, grab a 3-2 lead late in the second period, and then blow it in the third period. Power play goal by Alex Wennberg, his second. And then in OT at 1:57, Gustav Nyquist, his second of the season via a penalty shot. Mitch Marner gets called for the hook, and Nyquist, full credit to him. Sometimes you get a penalty shot and you sort of choke in OT, but he put it away in a 4-3 win here for Columbus. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you get in a shootout, what are the odds as far as scoring that? Sometimes you prefer being on a power play than a penalty shot, to be truthful. So, yeah, good on him. And, you know, just, you know, quickly about a lot of different things going on that we will talk about. One, when we get to the out-of-town scoreboard, just so you know, Mikko Rantanen looks like he suffered a significant injury.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, yes, you know, again, it's early, but if you see the video of it, so, of course, the Colorado Avalanche that are flying, and everybody about injuries, what a consideration they are, a factor in the Maple Leafs dealing with a lesser one with John Tavares. And the other part is, and you can see it on social media, that there's a nice story about Mitch Marner and a 7-year-old young girl from London, Ontario, who had been battling leukemia. And Mitch had got to know her a number of years ago and has kind of been a champion for her and, you know, with the family and that. And he posted that she passed away yesterday. And, that would be a lot. He was really emotionally invested in this situation, and it's a great read. I know Mike Zeisberger did a story, and he just put it out again, the story that he did. And, you know, these guys are human beings above all the money. And it gave me a new perspective on Mitch Marner reading that. I mean, the fact is, it wasn't like a money thing or an appearance thing. Like, he just rolled his sleeves up, and he was just very much involved, much like what's gone on in St. Louis with that young woman who they gave a Stanley Cup ring to. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's another one. Something's going on that way. I give Mitch Marner full I appreciate what he did for that family and that young girl. And I got to say, it would be a difficult night for him tonight.
Yeah, and our condolences, of course, to the family and Mitch Marner and everybody affected. A tough, tough loss for sure. The Maple Leafs dropping a 4-3 game here in OT. Penalty shot goal for Gustav Nyquist. Certainly a big topic of conversation in the next, 20 hours or so leading up to the Boston game will be the officiating for this one. But Toronto's going to step up. There's another large game tomorrow night at TD Garden in Boston. You beat the Bruins in OT on Saturday. And I think you have a lot of positives, Gord, you can take from this game and just leave behind at this point in the back-to-back some of the negatives that we saw tonight. And among them is something we talked about at the second intermission, just their D-zone exits have just been atrocious at times, and in the third period especially, it was evident.
Well, and the other part is the D-zone exits, and then they would exit and put it back in.
Yeah.
And that actually led to a penalty, led to the last goal, because I know there's a fancy way you play it. You try to get the late guy coming, and it's not like there's no strategy to it, but it just wasn't happening, and particularly when you have a one-goal lead. Like, you know, I found, like, You know, it's like when you coach kids hockey and you just want to get the puck out.
Keep it
like,
simple.
Yeah, keep it simple. Get it out. If you got a 1 or 2 goal lead, I mean, that's a priority when you get a chance. And then you can kind of go from there because the other team obviously is not going to score if the puck's not in your own zone. I know it's pretty simplistic the way I'm saying it. And I mean, but just that really wasn't there in the third period. And Columbus took over the game. Like, it was a game the Toronto Maple Leafs had control of for most of it. It got halted because of the inordinate number of penalties called against Toronto compared to Columbus. And they never quite got that full jam back like they had in the first period.
It really is fascinating as somebody who has played the game you have as well. When you're on the ice, and you're right, like, it seems so simple. Get the puck out. But when fatigue sets in and the pace of the game and the opposition being on the forecheck, suddenly it's not easy anymore, is it?
No, and you know, the other part, as much as I'll praise, like, watching Matthews, Marner, and Riley, okay, they stayed the max on 3-on-3. So when the puck went the other way, that's why it led to the penalty shot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they all stayed out long on the 3-on-3s, really. Sometimes part of it is knowing when to just get off. You got to be a little bit unselfish and get off. They never got great chances, really. Austin Matthews almost got a highlight reel goal in the shootout. They had some great puck in the overtime. They had some great puck possession and all that going on. But when it went the other way, I mean, Fred, before the penalty shot, Freddie had already made two big saves.
Here we go, Mike Pipot.
Sorry for your hockey club. Go from there to where you wanted to end it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we lost two battles there right at the start of the game, and they scored two goals right away. I thought we really got our game going. I thought we were playing good, but I mean, tonight we were in the box. It was a five, I think, if you count the one in overtime. That's six times. The penalties are hooking and slashing. I don't even know what they are. Here, I got it. No, let me look right here. What are they? Slashing, tripping, hooking, tripping, tripping.
What explanation did you get on the penalty shot?
I didn't. It was hooking. He had his stick on the guy. So when you put your stick on a guy's hands, you go to the box. So when you go to the box that many times, so if you remember the previous game, we went to the box too many times. Remember the game before, we went to the box too many times. So after a while, it's nobody else. It's own it and get on with it.
Those aren't aggression penalties. They're just lazy?
Well, they're just putting your stick on people. Put stick on puck, not stick on hands. So let's have a quick look. Tripping, interference, delay of game, slashing. That's two games ago. Holding, tripping, hooking. That's on us.
All right, there you have it. Mike Babcock, the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Getting a little bit shorter.
Yeah, and I think he echoed a lot of what we were saying earlier on in terms of the D-zone exits need to be better, the shift length, especially in overtime. A lot of these guys are still getting into the thick of this season. And let's not forget, you know, like, we don't talk about it maybe enough, in terms of the roster turnover. A lot of these guys are playing with each other for the first time, so... In one facet, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And the other thing I noticed in those remarks, too, is that he's taking the high road and he's not pinning this on the official.
Oh, he never does. Yeah. Never does. And again, that isn't what the reason is why the Maple Leafs lost. The Leafs get a point, which is good, given the way the third period went. Because even though they had a one-goal lead, they were hanging on for dear life. So Columbus ties it, and they get a point by virtue of going into overtime. So I think there was a little bit making his point that way. Okay, you got to own it. Well, I guess part of it, you got to own it and not allow, if you think that some of them were chintzy along the way, which tonight I happen to think they were. But it's funny. I just had a friend who's a scout text me and just said, I left with 5 minutes left. That was a brutal game, and I'm going, well, that was a great game at the start. Like, it was a great first 20 minutes. And I know we'll get Chris Johnson in a second. I mean, like I was actually pumped watching that first period. That was a fun period. Like, if you had a ticket tonight, you know, that was great. That was great. And then the momentum went the other way. And as Babcock said, it was you're in the box all game. Everything gets, you know, messed up as far as line changes go and what have you. And then it all of a sudden was the Columbus Blue Jackets, just a bunch of follies for the Toronto Maple Leafs that kind of a fiasco.
You know, I can give a bit of props as well to the opponent. Like, the Jackets are known for their tenacious play, their forecheck, the hard-hitting type John Tortorella style. And I feel like they started to play that way in the third period. So while the Leafs made their mistakes, I think a lot of credit can go to the opposition for forcing those mistakes, no?
Well, absolutely. And Josh Anderson back. And again, man, that guy. Like the Maple Leafs are a real fast team. They are. And we saw that early on. Most teams are pretty fast teams. the Maple Leaf D looked slow.
Jake Muzzin had a tough night.
Like, yeah. But Columbus is fast too.
Yeah.
Again, so I mean, but it was like there was like Panic City in the third period about, and you know, just the speed of Columbus. They had that jump, they had that zip, they had that tenaciousness that they were just making life really difficult in the third period.
And another night too, Gord, where I think you just have to be smiling that Frederik Andersen's a Toronto Maple Leaf. How many breakaway saves did he make in the third and overtime? Like, this guy is saving their bacon.
Well, absolutely, and that's why when I talked about some of the sloppiness before about just getting out of your zone, when you got that kind of game that it is not free flowing like it was in the first period and everything happened, you got to get down to basics and kind of play ugly the last 7-8 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, just to, you know, almost say hang on for dear life, get it out, that thing, and maybe you'll get it going. And then that's why I was perplexed by some of the plays, some of the panic plays, some of the giveaways, and then clearing the zone but putting the puck back in when, you know, just get it out and try to get it down and get job one done when you're in that kind of mode.
Yeah, to me that's the ultimate concern for this team as we go forward, because, again, this has been a trend since the first game of the season, even to the, third game against Montreal where they just blew that game. Is just the exits from the D zone and not getting the puck out and working as a cohesive five-man unit. Again, granted, I understand, like, the turnover has been pretty crazy, especially in the bottom six. Let's not forget John Tavares, Zach Hyman out of this lineup, among others. You know, it's gonna take a bit of time to work some chemistry, but at times these guys do look like they've never played together before, you know?
Well, it's, yeah.
And, it's crazy.
And, Mike Babcock is trying a lot of different lines. And it's funny, the first year he was here, it wasn't a very good team, but his lines were real static. Remember, he really didn't change them up all that much. So, I mean, there's a lot of elements there, Nick. And, you know, I'm good as a Leaf. I'm a Leaf fan, okay, and observer, media type. Yep. It's good for us if they go deep in the playoffs. A lot of, I'm making the assumption they're going to be in the playoffs. That's a nice kind of feel to have.
It is.
For both the Toronto Raptors and Toronto Maple Leafs that way. And, over the 82 games, there'll be a lot of different and interesting storylines.
That is Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame, a 4-3 OT loss against the Columbus Blue Jackets via a penalty shot. It's Gustav Nyquist. So happy to bring in now Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Can you remember the last time, Chris, you saw a game end the way it did tonight here at Nation or at Scotiabank Arena?
Well, I remember there was a Leafs game in Chicago. I want to call it 2 years ago. I think William Nylander ended on a penalty shot. But, you know, obviously, there's not a lot of those going around. I saw the Blue Jackets tweet out it's the first time in their franchise history that they had a game end on a penalty shot. And, you know, it was a bit of a broken play, a long shift there for the Leafs' big players that were on the ice. And still not totally clear on what the penalty shot was for. I mean, on the game sheet we have right now in the media room, it says for covering the puck was what it was awarded for. But, you know, we think it could have been the hook before that. Either way, it adds up to a Leafs loss. And you know, I think a deserved one, frankly, the way they played in the third period.
Well, you know, you and I first intermission, man, I was, like I said, I was jacked. I like seeing great hockey. That was a great first period, the way they came back, and it was exciting and going. And, you know, and then after that, Chris, like you said, I mean, let's give Columbus full credit for especially how they played in the third period. But the penalties just got going, and Mike Babcock, to his credit, he always takes the high road, and he just read them off and talked about, you guys got to be smarter. These are stick penalties. I thought some of them were chintzy. I was not wild about the officiating, but you still have to overcome indifferent officiating from time to time. But that just seemed to, from that time I saw you in the first intermission, they had to come out and kill the last buck 45 of Kerfoot's penalty. They never got it going again.
They didn't really. And you know, I think the point Mike was making there really was that it's three games now. And so you might not like the officiating on a given night, but when it's three straight games where they've taken basically what you call non-aggression penalties with their sticks, largely penalties that you can choose not to do by keeping your stick on the ice or not putting it up in the hands or the feet of your opponents, that you have to look internally. And, you know, that clearly affected things because, you know, Columbus tied the game on a power play in the third period. And so, you know, that might be as angry, honestly, as I can. I mean, angry might not be the right word. It might be as stern as I can recall Mike Babcock being after a loss. I mean, he's usually pretty stoic no matter, you know, what goes down in the game. You know, there was clearly some frustration with the way that ended. And I think, you know, the fact that it's some of the big players, you know, getting caught out for a long shift, the nature of those penalties, all that added together, it was, you know, an avoidable It was an avoidable turn of events for the Leafs, and then they let an extra point slip through their fingers.
That they did with Chris Johnston, to a positive development certainly has been the play to me, at least the last couple games of Frederik Andersen. I really felt like he saved their bacon at big majorities of time in the third period in OT. I can't even recall how many breakaway saves he made, and that's good news, isn't it, for this team?
Well, it is. It's probably the most important news in terms of where the season's going to end up. I mean, obviously there's tons of parts to a hockey team, but getting steady, reliable goaltending from Frederik Andersen is something that they've come to rely on. He's given it to them for three seasons now. Traditionally a bit of a slow starter in October, and I think he's had a couple off nights, but, I thought he was dialed in. It's hard to say that tonight when your goalie lets in four goals. It probably statistically doesn't look as good as that one felt, but, I thought especially that the first two shots went in on him, and, really no fault of his own. The Marner giveaway on the first goal, and then Matthews letting Pierre-Luc Dubois just skate right by him and take it to the net on the second one, but that he was able to mentally sort of reset and not let it snowball. He made 24 straight saves at that point until the third period tying goal and gave the Leafs a chance to get their legs back. And it gets forgotten a little bit because of the way it ended. But, the Leafs did have a pretty good stretch after that tough start and before the things went sideways at the end there. So, it's still a point, which I think matters in the long run. You don't want to let too many games go by where you're losing regulation. And now they got a real tough test tomorrow night in Boston with heavy legs and backup goaltender going into TD Garden.
Yeah, I mean, I love the game they played Saturday night. That would be a tough one, but a great effort to have tomorrow. And when we get you on Leafs Nation post game tomorrow night, I hope the focal point isn't about the questions about the backup goaltender. Let's hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's cheering for that. Michael Hutchinson, and the bit we've got to know him here, has been a great guy, and I think we all recognize he's put in a tough spot, starting the games he's had to start. But, that's part of the job. And Curtis McElhinney did it pretty well for the Leafs for a year and a half there. And there's hope that maybe Michael Hutchinson can at least give them something similar here and step into that number two role, because I don't know how long the leash is if it doesn't go well this week.
You are correct, CJ. Excellent job. We'll talk tomorrow night, okay?
Okay, boys. See you then.
There you have it. That's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. The Maple Leafs, a tough loss tonight after a big win in OT against Boston on Saturday. This time they lose it in overtime. Weird fashion, though. A Gustav Nyquist penalty shot, 4-3 win for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's Nick Alberga, Gord Stellick with you. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Blue and white at night. We own the night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick breaking down a 4-3 OT loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Gustav Nyquist, a penalty shot OT winner. And what was a rather weird one tonight, Gord?
Yeah, it was. And it's interesting because Chris Johnston remembered William Nylander ending one in fashion like that. It's to end with a penalty shot, because in regulation time that never happens. So all of a sudden overtime, and then everyone just leaves. It's kind of like a walk-off home run like the Houston Astros,
yeah.
Except you don't run around the bases and all that. So, yeah, it's just a lot of weirdness in this game. And, one other – I know we'll hear from a number of the players tonight. I like Chris Johnston said he called it the sternest he'd heard Mike Babcock. Like, this was the first year Mike Babcock did damage control. That was the team that was basically trying to be, it sounded weird, be respectable and come dead last. Okay, that's hard to do. So they did the come dead last part. Okay,
yeah.
So and then he would, and then he had his new kids on the block. And slowly but surely, the maturation. He's pissed tonight. He's not high, and he's making some of those guys accountable.
He should be there.
Some of the better players there. And by the way, we just don't pick on Martin Marincin all the time, who struggles.
He was awful.
Justin Hall, I think, played really well on D. And I guess, are they saying Justin Trudeau on the Liberals on the political front?
Is that the projection?
So they're calling them a winner, but they don't know yet if it'll be a majority or minority, correct? So on the news side. Of course, 680 News, our sister station, will have it on the Fan and all that as well. But that's what's going on. So a couple of Justins played okay. Justin Hall, and I guess Justin Trudeau is happy enough right now.
And that's why you're one of the best in the business, drawing that correlation right there.
I don't think anyone else has that correlation right now.
I would have never done that. It's time for the VTech Call of the Game. Win the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call. Call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize. To qualify for the grand prize, visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Here we go.
And it's going to be Nyquist. Gustav Nyquist works in off the left wing side, shoots, scores! Nyquist wins the game on a controversial play, a penalty shot.
Yeah, that's the way it ended.
Yeah, Chris just said there's confusion because the score sheet is showing that the penalty shot was awarded for a player, Mitch Marner, putting the puck over the hand. But then we're talking about the hook is what we believe is got called. And it looked like the official called right away, which, in our opinion, shouldn't be a penalty shot because Nyquist got a shot away. So what do they have in the what do they have show? It's a hook. Oh, they got back to a hook now. Okay, brutal call. But anyway.
Fair. No, you're right. I think criticism is appropriate at times.
Yeah.
And it was a bad call.
Seems to be a theme I have about the guys.
You know, the one thing we do
forget. I just showed you a picture of our kid Justin right?
He's I
have respect for the officials.
I used to umpire as well, in baseball. It's human error is part of life, whether we like it or not. The officials were not good in this game. Ultimately, it led to a loss for the Maple Leafs, but as Chris put it, you put it, I put it, the Leafs did not deserve to win this game, so it's funny how it all works out sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. When I was general manager.
In the 20s, yes.
And there was a general manager's meeting, and of course, what did someone complain about? Officiating. And I remember Bobby Clark was a general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers. He still works for them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just got up and he goes, and you know, it's funny, because the Philadelphia Flyers were the Broad Street Bullies when he played. And actually, a lot of people thought they got away with too much back then, too. But and he just said, he goes, hey, the buildings are full. The right teams win the Stanley Cup and that. How in the hell are these guys supposed to know what we're supposed to do every year? We're on them and changing and whatever. And he's right. You know, at the end of the year, the right teams win the Stanley Cup or compete that way. It's part of what you deal with in every sport.
It is part of the game, and you're somebody, of course, does the morning show on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio when we kick off playoff time. What's the one thing that everybody always calls in about in the first round of the playoffs, especially?
Officiating.
It's always officiating, and that's why I always stop opening up the lines at the beginning of the playoffs.
But you know what I'm glad about? I'm glad after the Vegas-San Jose situation that they've allowed the video in for those things.
Thankfully, Gord.
and the officials would be the first to say,
yeah.
I'm glad, because I want the same electronic aids that everybody else has who can see that we missed a particular call.
Now,
it didn't get to that here, okay, tonight, but just in general, because the playoffs, you really need that. And I wonder in the playoffs, too, are they going to change the rule about, are they going to keep it a minor penalty for a video review if you're wrong? I wonder.
Can't change the rules.
Well, because
mid-season.
But part of the whole thing is getting it right.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's for down the road.
Yeah, we got a lot of racetrack. We still got, 72 games till we get to that point. But this was game 10, the Maple Leafs.
I can't wait for the playoffs.
5-3-2 on the year. We will get to that point where we're just yearning for the playoffs. But the Maple Leafs have to get going here. Surely a stop in Boston coming up on Tuesday night. Second time in three games, those two teams getting together. But I think, again, when you look to the officiating, it just was not a good night for them. But I like the fact that Mike Babcock was a bit agitated. And that's the discipline side of the game is something I'm looking forward to seeing how the Maple Leafs respond coming up on Tuesday night in Boston.
Well, because John Tortorella just did the same to his Columbus Blue Jackets, and we just mentioned that. There's only so often you can do that, and he was really angry or dispirited. He's never dispirited.
Tort's angry? No.
Yeah, but just – no, actually, he was just doing the blasé one-word answers and just basically, but he wasn't happy the way his team played. He wasn't happy with their finish the last couple of games. They lost in overtimes. He'd be happy the way they finished, especially tonight.
Yeah, because they had moments in this game where they played that Columbus Blue Jackets type brand of hockey. But certainly, I think we're both in agreement. They were the better team in this game. And again, it comes full circle. They found a way to win via a Gustav Nyquist penalty shot in OT. But again, it's just tremendous to me. And I ask you this question too, because I know in other sports, they actually have the officials or the union or whatever it is come out and sort of discuss calls. Would you like to see that in the NHL from a refereeing standpoint? I know the NBA does that quite frequently where, yeah, they'll admit they've made the bad call sometimes.
Oh, I see. So it's not like somebody can go, like a pool reporter can go and interview the
officials. Yeah, like
they used to do that in the NFL. Nobody does
that
now.
Yeah, like but the NBA comes out maybe a day after sometimes and says, you know what, we messed up.
I think that's fine. You know, it's spilled milk like a lot of things. And but I think it just shows you have a you want to back them, but it just shows you have a certain standard and you recognize when it's something that's the obvious. I wouldn't be looking for that tonight, but in this case here. But I
want a written apology to Leafs Nation, Gord.
I hear what you're saying.
For a terrible call.
The other one, just about the Leafs record, I'm saying, well, right now, you know, maybe they've decided they don't want to play the Boston Bruins, so they're going to secure a wild card spot.
Or they want to play Tampa. In the
But that's kind of where they're hanging around right now.
It's sort of funny, you know, in NHL terms, we talk about, hey, like Tampa's going to coast and sit back. But easier said than done. It's not like they go out there and say, hey, let's lose this game or lose an OT, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you mean. Like, you get that feeling. Even that year the Washington Capitals, they were a team that continued to win and win the President's Trophy. The year they win the Stanley Cup, they weren't as strong as years past. And it's amazing how it worked out where they found their groove at the right time. And you wonder if the Maple Leafs are going to look at sort of that ratio, that aspect, and also Tampa Bay in the same division.
Well, you just look at the other team. Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment has a soccer team, too, which won a championship, but also a basketball team.
Yeah.
And you're right about, like, hey, if you're going to get hot, what's your hottest time of the season going to be? If it's game number 83 onwards, I'll take that any day of the week, whatever team it may be.
That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame. Sportsnet 590, the Fan and the Leafs Radio Network, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Let's hear now some postgame remarks in the locker room. We referenced earlier a tough day last 24 hours or so for Mitch Marner. Had a point in this game, shorthanded goal, passing it to Kapanen. Here's Mitch Marner postgame.
Have you ever seen anything like it tonight in terms of how this game was decided and where you were in the midst of all of it to win things in the extra time, Mitch?
It's unfortunate. We got our sticks in their feet and their hands and they called it, and you know, you want to have those ones back, but stuff happens.
I was just talking about the need to play a 60-minute game. Where do you feel like you guys are in terms of doing that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a slow start again. I mean, tough turnovers. They made a count, so you know, just got to make sure that if you got this one, put it behind it, get ready for Boston.
So overtime, a situation where you go high risk, high reward, and go for the 2 points. I mean, maybe regardless of what might happen at the other end, guys committing at one end and getting caught coming back the other.
I mean, no, I thought, you know, I was playing high, and then, I mean, I don't know, I felt like, you know, I was kind of at the end of the shift, probably should have changed. You know, had seconds to do it, probably should have got off, but, you know, stayed out there, saw the puck go the other way, tried to get back, and stuff happens.
What explanation did you have that was the penalty shot?
From the ref?
Yeah.
He didn't give me one.
What did you think of the officiating in general today?
Like I said, we had our sticks in their hands, we had our sticks in their feet. Stuff happens.
You said this morning about Freddie bailing you out from your team's mistakes. You feel this was a night where he really was overworked in that department?
I mean, I thought the goals that went in on him, he really had no help. That first one, that turnover by me, backdoor to the whoever it was and scored. You know, that's just me going at the guy with the puck and leaving another guy open. Second one, I mean, just to the net. It's a tough one to save for any goalie, I think. And I mean, that was a great block by Mo on the kill and just kind of went right back to him, caught it to the net, and I mean, went 5-hole on Freddie, who was, I think, reading off the first shot that got blocked, but, you know, stuff happens. He bailed us out a lot. You know, tonight, the goals that went in on him, they weren't his fault. We weren't helping him enough.
Mitch, you tweeted this morning the news about Hayden. Maybe just offer some words about the relationship you had with her and what she meant to you.
You know, it's hard to put into words our relationship. You know, she was a special friend to me. By the end of it, really felt like she and her family was part of my family, and still be going forward. Their family will still mean a lot to me. We'll still get them down here as much as we can. Going to talk to them and see how much we can help throughout this process. But, I mean, I think anyone that got to know Hayden or got to ever see her, you left with a smile on your face. she meant a lot to the people around her, to the world that got to meet her. You know, it's something that's very unfortunate that happened, and you know, that's why we do the things we do, try and raise money to try and stop these things and try and, you know, make people get to live out their full life. She was a battler, and she'll always be remembered by me and the people around her.
Without question, a very tough last 24 hours or so for Mitch Marner of the Maple Leafs after this 4-3 OT loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Marner once again had his moments in this game. Has played really, really well, I would say, and pretty solid the last couple games.
Yeah, and again, to talk what he's talking about, and he told Sean McKenzie about it in the pregame interview. Hayden Fulin was 7 years old and been battling leukemia, and so Mitch Marner had befriended her and the family, and
yeah.
And so Mike Zeisberger, our friend from NHL.com, has reprinted his story about it. About a year ago, he got to meet her and Mitch dealing with. So that's so he was dealing with a lot, Mitch, and he tried to articulate it there at the end. You know, tonight though, boy, he made the terrible gaffe on the first goal, which happens, and then he really that. The goal to tie it up, or the first Leaf goal that he got, that like the way he set, we're talking about early, first of all, that he missed the first opportunity to make the pass and then to Kapanen, and then the second time he got it through.
Yeah.
And I actually thought that because Kapanen had turned his stick a bit and was jammed, and Korpisalo didn't play that great. He played great after, though, but I kind of thought, you know, that so that got it going. So that's the best thing you do when you have a faux pas, remedy it with that. But then he does say at the end, man, they had that 3-on-3. Him, Matthews, and Riley, once you knew what, if they were going to lose the puck in the offensive zone, it would be, yeah. You know, they'd have no chance coming back. They were completely gassed.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And sometimes you just got to go for it. Certainly you're not playing a team in your division. Who knows what happens in terms of a wild card, although we do think Toronto's going to be one of those three teams in the Atlantic Division. Meantime, ho-hum, another night at the office for Austin Matthews, on pace for 70 goals. I believe our producer, Sho Ali, said earlier on, just scores another one.
How did
Sho
do at math?
He's really good.
Were you good? Okay,
he's
yeah.
He's really good at math.
So why is he in this business?
I don't know.
There. Okay,
they told
question.
Us there'd be no math. Like, that's the number one line in sports broadcasting. But 1-1 for Austin Matthews. Let's go down to the room to hear what he said.
Players went down leading to the penalty shot, Austin.
Yeah, I mean, had a couple good looks there at the end, and then I didn't really have a great eye on what happened at our end.
Explain the first period start you guys had.
I mean, it was just a couple mental mistakes. You know, the one on the power play, then that's my fault there on that second one. I should have had my guy. Can't let him get to the net like that. But you know, I thought we battled back. Obviously, tied the game up in that first period. A couple big goals, and you know, got the lead there. And then obviously they forced overtime. So we got to find a way to get those extra points. Yeah, I mean, obviously that breakaway at the end there was a big save. We made a number of really good saves for us to keep us ahead, keep us tied. You know, I thought in the third there, they kind of came at us and had momentum for a bit. And he obviously did a really good job in keeping us in it.
Andreas' ability to pass the puck, and even Muzz on your goal, can you just break down just how good they both were to set you up the way they did?
Yeah, I mean, we were laughing about it because, you know, on that power play, I gave him that one, and he got me back. You know, obviously, their goalie made a really good save. But, yeah, he sees the ice well. I mean, he's so quick, so fast. You know, he's not afraid to use his body out there, use his body position, and obviously made a really nice pass to me. I just had to tap it in.
All right, there you have it. There's Austin Matthews, and I think that's signs of being a leader, taking ownership sometimes for some bad defensive plays which lead to goals, and it shows me a lot in a player sometimes.
I like that first ever NHL game when he scored 4 goals against Ottawa,
yeah.
And was interviewed after the game, and he mentioned that it was his man that scored in overtime again. So I've liked that he's always taken that kind of accountability.
So, Gord, the Maple Leafs fall to 5-3-2, in case you're wondering, which I'm sure you are if you're driving out there or on your way to the subway still, or you're just Gord Stellick. The Maple Leafs this time last year, Gord?
7-3.
The crack staff here has decided
Andrew
7-3.
Andrew Holland,
yes.
Dug it up.
Well, I think it was Gord Stellick, Sho Ali, Vic Palladian, and Andrew Holland. We had an assortment of sports buff stat people here, but 7-3 last year in the first 10. It's early until like the 12th game, right?
And here's the one fun stat, because you know the stats with Stevie Fellin.
Yes.
And so first time the Maple Leafs have had a shorthanded goal for or against in the first period of the game since 1985. against the New York Islanders. Brian Trotsky scored a shorthanded goal for the New York Islanders. And the still president of the Toronto Maple Leaf alumni, Danny Daou, scored a shorthanded goal for the Maple Leafs. So that's what was weird in the first period.
Yeah.
You had a shorthanded goal. That's how infrequently that happens.
Yeah, Mitch Marner, you could argue, had two shorthanded assists, one on the Columbus goal and one on the Maple Leafs goal. I wonder how often that happens, where two shorthanded points in the same period.
Mm.
But he doesn't play for Columbus. Could have maybe with an offer sheet, if you know what I'm saying. But Columbus wins it 4-3.
That's called a stretch.
In OT. I know Columbus is interested. I'll say that. It's Nick Elberger, Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame. One more player to hear from. A tough night overall, especially defensively for Jake Muzzin. I know he had a couple of assists, but it wasn't his best game out there.
Crazy end to the hockey game, at least from your perspective watching on. How did you see it all unveil here? And it was a tough 1-point loss for this team.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know exactly what the ruling is, but I felt like we maybe should have just went on a penalty kill. I don't know about the penalty shot, but it that's what happened, and they capitalized. So we had some chances before that, and in overtime, it's going to be exciting both ways. So, I mean, it's we shouldn't have let it get to that point, but we took a point, so we'll take it and we'll move on here. Yeah, I mean, you come out and with a slow start like that, and you give them two. Fred's been a rock for us all year, and we'd like to come out with a better start. But we battled back, and we took the lead, and then we let up again. So we got to find a way to come out and put together a full 60 of hard work and playing the right way. We do it in spurts, but we need to do it a consistent effort through the whole 60 game or 60 minutes.
What made their push so
hard? I think we let them. No offense to them, but I think we did turnovers. We were spread out. We weren't tight. We allowed them to get their forecheck going, and they got momentum and chances from it. And I think they got a power play goal, right? Yeah, that we took penalties. I mean, it just it's a recipe for giving goals up when you take penalties and turnover pucks and playing your zone. It just you can't win like that.
What explanation, if any, were you guys given for that?
I didn't hear any.
Does this put more of an emphasis on playing better defensively in front of Hutch tomorrow against Boston?
We're gonna play better defensively. We have to, no matter what, no matter who's in net, no matter what team we're playing.
All right, there you have it, Jay.
Nothing to sneeze at, man.
Sorry, I don't even know if people heard that, but that was funny. And that's why I love working with Gord Stellick. It's Nick Elberger alongside Gord Stellick, Jake Muzzin, his postgame remarks. With the breaker, final one of the night here from Scotiabank Arena. The Maple Leafs now hit the road to take on the Boston Bruins at TD Garden coming up on Tuesday night. We'll have Leafs Nation postgame. Our final thoughts coming up and a final look at the out-of-town scoreboard here. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, for the final time on this federal election day, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. The Maple Leafs falling 4-3 the final in OT on a Gustav Nyquist OT penalty shot winner. It's tough to say. 4-3 the final here. It's Nick Elberger and Gord Stellick wrapping up Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Any final thoughts on this one, Gord?
Just tomorrow night. We'll find out. Like I see Chris Johnson's article on Sportsnet.ca. Freddie Anderson really is the reason they got a point. But the first 20 minutes was as good a hockey as they played all season. So find that, bottle that, make it more than 20 minutes. And to Mike Babcock's points, don't take the chintzy penalties and hacking, whacking, putting your stick places. And we'll see what gives.
Out of town, Philadelphia all over the Vegas Golden Knights. 6-2 the final. Travis Konecny, another multi-point effort for him. Dallas, a much better night for them at home to the lowly Ottawa Senators. And looks like Colorado is going to drop their game and also could be more in terms of Mikko Rantanen, a tough injury in that one.
Yeah, St. Louis has the 3-1 lead over Colorado with about 3 minutes left. It's an interesting game in the defending Stanley Cup champions playing a team that a lot of people think could supplant them in the Stanley Cup final anyway from the Western Conference. And, you're always reluctant to put it out there about an injury and make it, you know, predict how long someone might be out. But Mikko Rantanen, because now there's so much video available, just an awful looking weird, what, lost an edge or something. Just
looked that
weird.
Way, yeah.
But the way his ankle, leg, whatever went, it's like Eric Haller last year.
Yeah.
And Eric Haller was seriously injured and pretty well missed most of the season after that, started playing at the end. So we hope that's not the case. We will find out. I mean, they're an elite team. He's an elite player. He was among those with Marner and everybody else that was one of those high-end restricted free agents that came to the table late getting his contract done. So Mikko Rantanen looking like he's suffered a significant injury for the Colorado Avalanche.
Again, I'm no doctor, but as somebody who has suffered a high ankle sprain, it looked like that. And sometimes it's worse to have your ankle sprain than to break it. And that's exactly what happened to me.
Well, it seemed to never heal. It took forever to heal.
I was playing hockey and, you know, I got tripped and it collapsed under me just the same way. And that was just an edge that he seemed to lose there. So we hope the best for Mikko Rantanen. And that's a tough one for Colorado. But the one thing we have seen with that team is certainly their depth has really picked up and something they addressed in Joe Sakic's offseason.
Was it Jean-Gabriel Pageot last year? Was he the guy that was just working out with the Ottawa Senators?
Who?
Was it Jean-Gabriel Pageot?
Pageot, in training camp, right?
Yeah, just working out, like doing dry land training.
Wasn't it Achilles?
Yeah, dry land training, and all of a sudden there he was. It was one of those innocent-looking things and was a significant injury as well for the – anyway, so – we'll find out about that as far as the Colorado Avalanche
and, go. So the Maple Leafs get set for Tuesday night. TD Garden, Michael Hutchinson, just the next biggest game of his career tomorrow night, I would say. And I'm very intrigued to see from a discipline standpoint how that game goes for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Boston's been waiting for a couple days since that OT loss on Saturday night. And it's expected Tuukka Rask will start in that game after Yaroslav Halak played back on Saturday.
Yeah, interesting week, too. A rare Friday night game, and the San Jose Sharks will be here for their one visit. And as we mentioned, Par Lindholm did not get a video tribute coming back for the Boston Bruins, but Patrick Marleau should get something. And, you know, nice that his first couple of games he's fit in so well with the San Jose Sharks. And then Saturday, the Maple Leafs are at Montreal. Those are always great Hockey Night in Canada games. But also, hey, I don't know what's making a statement all the time, but you blew a three-goal lead to the Montreal last time. So these are the kind of games that you, again, want to build some of those points up.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll continue to monitor, you know, in the next week or so, the progression of John Tavares. It sounds like Travis Dermott saw him walking around the press box earlier tonight. He's eyeing a return in the next couple of weeks, you would think. Zach Hyman. But I think from a defensive outlook, that's the one thing I'm curious to see in the next week, couple weeks for the Maple Leafs, is can they improve from a defensive standpoint? Meantime, I don't know if you heard, Gord, Tuesday night, there's going to be a banner raising in this very arena, Scotiabank Arena, and you can catch it all here on Sportsnet 590 of the Fan at 7 Eastern Time. It's Toronto Raptors and the New Orleans Pelicans. Can't wait for that.
Well, I'll tell you something. That was just, especially the final especially, gave you a taste about what it's like when you get that deep. And that was awesome, following the Toronto Raptors all the way. So that'll be a great night tomorrow and well-deserved for all the members of their organization, both on and off the court.
All right, that's going to do it. Many thanks to Andrew Holland, Vic Pilati, and Sho Ali, Josh Goldberg, and, of course, Gord Stellick. Once again, the Maple Leafs falling 4-3 in OT on a penalty shot goal from Gustav Nyquist. Join us for Leafs Nation postgame coming up on Tuesday night after the Maple Leafs visit the Boston Bruins. You've been listening to Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.